ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 3 वर्स नंबर 38 एवं वाम तप्यतोस्ति व्रम तपः परम दुष्करम् दिव्यवर्षा सहस्राणि द्वादशेयोर्मदात्मनो स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. Thus you spend 12,000 years performing difficult activities of tapasya in consciousness of me, Krishna consciousness. So since this verse has no purport, we'll move to verse 37 and 38. O sinless Mother Devaki, after the expiry of 12,000 celestial years, in which you constantly contemplated me within the core of your heart with great faith, devotion and austerity, I was very much satisfied with you. Since I am the best of the bestowers of benediction, I appeared in the same form as Krishna to ask you to take from me the benediction you desired. You then expressed your desire to have a son exactly like me. Purport. 12,000 years on the celestial planet is not a very long time for those who live in the upper planetary system. Although it may be very long for those who live on this planet. Sutapa was the son of Brahma, and we have already understood from Bhagavad Gita that one day of Brahma equals to many millions of years according to our calculations, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam. We should be careful to understand that to get Krishna as one son, one must undergo such great austerities. If we want to get Supreme Personality of Godhead to become one of us in this material world, this requires great penance. But if you want to go back to Krishna, tektva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna, we need only to understand him and love him. Through love only we can easily go back home, back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore declared, prema pumarto mahan, love of Godhead is the highest achievement for anyone. As we have explained in the worship of the Lord, there are three stages, jnana, jnanamai and rati or love. Sutapa and his wife Prishni inaugurated their devotional service on the basis of full knowledge. Gradually they developed love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when this love was mature, the Lord appeared as Vishnu, although Devaki then requested him to assume the form of Krishna. To love the Supreme Personality of Godhead more, we want a form of the Lord like Krishna, Rama. We can engage in loving transactions with Krishna especially. In this age we are fallen, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bestow upon us love of Godhead directly. This was appreciated by the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami said, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvise Namaha. In this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as Mahavadanyaya, the most munificent of the charitable persons. Because he gives Krishna so easily that one can attain Krishna simply by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We should therefore take advantage of the benediction by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra we are cleansed of all dirty things, we shall be able to understand very easily that Krishna is the only object of love. Kirtanat eva Krishnasya mukta sanga param raje. Therefore, one need not undergo severe penances for thousands of years. One need to only learn how to love Krishna and always be engaged in his service. Sevan mukhe jivadav, swayam eva spurato adav. then one can easily go back home, back to Godhead. Instead of bringing the Lord here for some material purpose to have a son or whatever else, if we can go back home, back to Godhead, our relationship with the Lord is revealed. And we can eternally engage in our eternal relationship. By chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we gradually develop our eternal relationship with the Supreme Person and thus attain the perfection called as Swarupa Siddhi. We should take advantage of this benediction and go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has therefore sung Patita Pavan Hetu Tava Avatar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared as an incarnation to deliver all the fallen souls like us and directly bestow upon us the love of Godhead. We must take advantage of this benediction of the great personality of Godhead. So today is the last day of this month, holy month of Kartik. Probably that's why I'm here, to make you understand that all holy days are over now. And the holy month is getting over, so everybody has to realize that. So some unholy person has to speak. So here in this purport, actually the translation appears so exciting of the verse that how these devotees, Devaki and Vasudev, in their previous life had done so much of tapasya to have Krishna as their son. Now this may, you know, appear so exciting for somebody who may just read the translation, to have Krishna as our son. And somebody may falsely be inspired by that idea that I will do some tapasya and invite the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because devotees can get misguided because of lack of guidance, or there are some desires to do something different. All of us have some desire to do something different in a different way. And somebody may actually, you know, get inspired by this and start desiring to have Krishna as their son. And so Prabhupada, without the purport of Prabhupada, if somebody reads this verse, you know, such thing may happen. But Prabhupada has, you know, brought us ground on ground level, back to square one, we say. He said, no need of doing such tapasya. And why do you want to bring the Supreme Personality of Godhead down here? Instead, you chant Hare Krishna and you go there. He's giving this thing, making it very clear. Why don't you serve Him? And so this verse is especially important for those devotees who, you know, grahasthas, who are desiring children, all such desires. But of course, to have a child itself nowadays is such a difficult thing. Because I am a teacher of anatomy, so I, you know, keep on telling about the body structures. The male, so when I teach about the male genitals, so I tell that the whole purpose, the way the human body is made and the reason the testes are kept outside the body is because the internal body temperature is so high that is not suitable for formation of the sperms. Because we eat, and moment we eat, this is like a machine for digesting. So a lot of heat is generated. And external temperature used to be 25 previously. But nowadays the external and body temperature is something like 37 degrees Celsius. But nowadays the external temperature is 40 degrees, 41, 42 in Nagpur and all those areas. So therefore we see that people are not able to conceive children. You sit in the local trains, we see so many advertisements of artificial insemination and artificial reproduction techniques by which the doctors help by injecting the sperms and all such things, sperm donors. People in the IT field, they are under so much of stress that because of that, they can't conceive. This is a data which is available. I have one of my relative that she was busy in the project, so much busy in the project that she realized that she is pregnant after 3 months of pregnancy. 3 months she didn't realize that she is pregnant. And afterwards she called me. She says, I think I'm pregnant because, you know, she started getting all the symptoms. Just imagine the stress. And our devotees also, you know, they keep on trying for, in this all stressful life. I once met a devotee, and especially referring to this purport, to have a divine child, I said, so many years you didn't have a child. Are you waiting for some divine personality? He said, I'm so much tired, you know, that even Hiranyakashipu will do, you know. No, sometimes devotees, they get so... Because the society troubles people who don't have children. Like, when I got married, and after 5-6 years, I didn't have a child, so the relatives, you know, they start troubling so much that, kya ho gaya, bacha nahi. Then they give medical advice, all such things. Moment I had a child, before having child, you go to any marriage, nobody's interested in talking to you anything else. Where is your child? Once I had my child, I used to lift the child like a trophy, you know, that, see this. I always remember that photograph of Kapil Dev when 1983 World Cup, first World Cup India had won. So this is how I used to enter the functions. That now stop asking. Now let us speak something else. So here we find, this having a divine child. Having a child itself is a great austerity. So Prabhupada is bringing us back to, you know, square one, that don't desire such things. And we have so many examples who have actually, this is possible for divine beings like Advaita Acharya, who invited the Supreme Lord to come down. Today also the Bhishma Panchak ends. So this is, again, you know, devotees get fascinated to do this Bhishma Panchak and all. So this is very nice, doing tapasya on the last 5 days. When I read the whole thing, that what is this Bhishma Panchak, because it was ending on this day, the way we have to follow it, like it starts from Ekadashi, and we don't break the Ekadashi, and it continues up to this Purnima, and at moonrise we are supposed to leave the fast. And on day one, we have to accept cow dung from a cow before it falls on the ground. So this is very important, that we normally see lot of literature where people criticize this cow dung being applied on the wounds and somebody getting tetanus. This does happen. When the cow dung falls on the ground, the ground is full of tetanus. And then from there somebody must have picked up and applied on the wound and must have got tetanus. This is quite possible. So here specifically it was mentioned that the cow dung has to be collected before it falls on the ground. Then it maintains its antiseptic properties. But then what our scientists do, they show this 10-15 cases how this cow dung was applied and there was tetanus. And then people stop believing in the antiseptic properties. And second day one is supposed to accept some cow urine from a virgin cow, and third day cow ghee. Fourth day, yogurt, and today the fifth day, milk, and all the 5 days sustaining on fruits. So it's a very divine tapasya, but I always insist that whatever tapasya we have to do, the tapasya should start with our japa first, improving the quality of our japa. Because we are again here in this purport, we see that somebody may get excited to have a Krishna as child. So again, we also have this tendency to, you know, do some tapasya like this. Here it is mentioned, oh, 5 days, only fruits. Oh, very good. I'll do this. But what about our improving the quality of japa? Once we do that, then all other tapasyas are useful. But we are engaged in other tapasyas and that is affecting our japa. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Brahmacharis were doing Nirjal. He said, no, eat and go and distribute books. So all this should be done, but provided our japa is nice. First tapasya starts with our chanting. So, but if we are not able to do it, now there is a tendency that if we are not able to do it, we criticize it. Oh, no, all this Bhishma Panchak is this and there is, no. If we are not able to do it, I think we should feel bad that, okay, somehow, because I'm staying in this city like Mumbai, unfortunately, I'm not able to do it. But let me at least chant. You know, sometimes if you are not able to do, there is a tendency to criticize that. No, this is not possible. This is not needed. But somewhere, it should make us humble also. Today is also Sri Krishna Rasa Yatra. So, one Rasa Leela starts on the Sharad Purnima and the other starts on the Kartik Purnima. So this is the last outing of Lord Krishna. And this is the second full moon of Kartik. And I was, whole month I was actually struggling on to gather material on the Rasa Yatra and what exactly happens, because the first Rasa Leela Vivan, which is described in Krishna book, starts on Sharad Purnima. And then, you know, yesterday I discussed with Shyamanand Prabhu and he told me that this is same as the Rasa Leela. Moment we speak about Rasa Leela, we have to talk about the professional reciters, you know, who do this Rasa Leela. And here at Girgaon Chowpatty, so many times we see people doing Rasa Leela dramas and all. Prabhupada, even in the purport of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, there also he says that one should not listen it from professional reciters. So I would like to just tell you the story of one such professional reciter, one actor. All of you must be knowing him. In Pune, we have this drama theater, auditorium, called Balagandharva. And he used to act as Rukmini, because that time females were to not act on the stage, so he used to act as Rukmini. And do this drama of Rukmini Haran. And recently there was a movie released on this actor. And he was such a dedicated actor that his daughter, on his first show when he was supposed to perform, his daughter died. And still he didn't leave the show and he did this whole show and then went to his home. So that was his, you know, dedication towards this thing. So really appreciable. And he used to take bath in milk and rose petals and shave every day, the whole body. And because he had a feeling that people should feel that Rukmini is there on the stage. And for that he used to dedicate so much. And he used to buy those costly saris and all those things. He said that I will move around in a torn dhoti, but Rukmini on the stage should be this thing. So people used to really appreciate him. But my mother wanted to see this movie, so I got that CD for her and she was watching. And towards the end, I just went and I saw a scene where this fellow, this was the end scene. So this fellow goes to a darga, offers wealth there and puts that priest there, puts this broom on his head and he walks away. So I was thinking, why the movie has ended with this thing? So I did some research on his life. And in that I found that at the age of 50, he fell in love with a Muslim singer and moved out to stay with her, left his wife. And wife, because of that shock, died. He left his mother, left his brother. And so much so that at the age of 64, or in his 60s, he married this singer. Now, Vanaprastha begins at 50, and he started a new life at 64. And the most, this thing, like I was thinking that he left his brother, he left his father, mother. Rukmini also did all these things, you know, but she did it for Krishna. And this fellow is falling in love at age of 64. And the worst part I saw in that whole history, that after all this, when he was 70, our Indian government offered him Padma Vibhushan, you know, for all his such activities. And so much so that when he died, people were standing with flowers to offer it to his body, but his body never came out of the house. Because his body was taken by back door and was cremated. Because there were some people from other community who were wanted the possession on the body, because they said that he had converted. So the point I want to make is that whole life he acts as Rukmini, and that doesn't, it's not falling in love with a girl from other community. That is not the issue. Issue is that not developing any love for Krishna. Not developing any love for Krishna. Whole life that, in Marathi we have this song, Vada Jau Kunala Sharanaga. All those, when Rukmini is standing with the Aarti plate, and all those who are Maharashtrians, they know this song. That is Rukmini's song, that who will, Karilazo Harana Sankatache, who will save me from this danger of Jarasandha and Shishupal. Whole life he keep on singing, and people in Maharashtra still, they have this Bal Gandharva's songs by Rukmini. They keep on playing it. And this person somehow could not get any detachment. So that is about the professional, you know, reciters, about who are interested in Ras Leela and all those things. And but yesterday I was talking to Shyamanand Prabhu, and Shyamanand Prabhu said that we should, when we talk about all these esoteric things, devotees are interested that what a sadhaka can learn from this. And I was thinking that, okay, Ras Leela, what a sadhaka like me. And few days back I heard a devotee saying that we may not hear Krishna's flute. Radha Gopinath Prabhu was saying this. But the shankha in the temple is like our flute. And we have to, you know, rush for the darshan. We may not hear the flute, but at least we can hear the shankha. And dancing for Krishna's pleasure. We have this opportunity to do the Ras Leela every day. What is Ras Leela? They all danced for Krishna's pleasure. Now Krishna disappeared and again appeared. So after I spoke with Shyamanand Prabhu yesterday, I was thinking, how come this can be applied for a sadhaka? But actually this has happened in our life. That in the initial Krishna consciousness days, Krishna had appeared in our life. For some, he gave some glimpse. That taste, everybody remembers the first few days of Krishna consciousness, how tasty the Mahamantra was. And I used to chant, you know, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, and everybody used to come to JJ, and somebody used to ask me, how much rounds you are chanting? I said, whole day I am chanting, you know. And now it is so difficult to finish 16 rounds, but whole day I used to, you know, keep on singing the Mahamantra. And so Krishna appears in our life. And then, as he disappeared from the Ras Leela, he does the same pastime with the devotee. So then I was checking the conversation of Krishna and the gopis, where Krishna tells them that sometimes I don't reciprocate with the devotee. You know, that's what the complaint of most of us is, that why Krishna is not reciprocating. He said, sometimes I don't reciprocate, but that is to increase the love for me. Because if I give them myself very easily, they think that Krishna is very easily available. And Krishna gives a very nice analogy. He says, if somebody earns wealth and then loses it, 24 hours he will keep on thinking about that wealth. So that's how we become intense in our chanting. Also, today is the appearance day of Nimbarkar Acharya. So I am personally, I was not knowing appearance, disappearance as usual. You know, I'm a government servant. Government servants, we are, you know, we look at the calendar. We are just looking at the red dates. What is there on that red date? We don't even care whether it is Ram Navami or anything. People just want to slip it off. So our Mukund Mala Prabhu, while I finished my Radha Madhav, said appearance and helping me. Thank you. He was there in the 11th and 12th century in the south. And all of us know the story that how he derived his name Nimbarka, because he defeated a Jain Pandit, and Jain Pandit refused to eat because it was already sunset. So he made the sun appear from behind a neem tree. So that is Nimba, and Arka is sun. All our Sanskrit names have a nice meaning. Like, for example, we have this Sankranti. So the word is derived from Samyak Kranti. Okay, from that day onwards, the day becomes longer. And even the word Bharata, Bha is for Bhaskar, Bharata, who are engaged in worshipping the sun. That is one meaning. There are multiple meanings also. Like we have the word Ramayana. The word Ramayana is derived from Uttarayana. You know, we have this, not derived from Uttarayana, similar to Uttarayana. Like Uttarayana is the movement of the sun. We talk about Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. It is movement of the sun. So Ramayana is movement of Ram. Movement of Ram from his childhood to youth. Also, movement of Ram from Ayodhya to down south and back. So that is the meaning of Ramayana. So Nimbarka. And this, he at one point he worshipped Shiva, and Lord Shiva guided him to a forest, particular forest, where the four Kumaras were doing tapasya. And he went there, offered obeisances, and they gave him the Radha Krishna mantra. And two things which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up from this glorious sampradaya of Nimbarkar Acharya is the Raga Marga and bhajan following the footsteps of the gopis. Also, today is Tulasi Vivaha, Tulsi and Shaligram Vivaha. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj had very nicely spoken once on Tulsi. He said that, what is the mood of Tulsi Maharani? She grows for the pleasure of the Lord, but she is always dependent on a devotee to offer her to the Supreme Lord. It was one of the best analogies I had heard. She grows and then she is always dependent that some devotee will come, pluck me, and offer me at the lotus feet of Krishna. This is how we should be always dependent on the devotees, not directly approaching the Supreme Lord. Sometimes we tend to approach the Supreme Lord directly. But if Tulsi Maharani is dependent on devotees to offer her, what is our position? In this regard, I would like to tell one nice story of a king who had served devotees, King Muchakunda. And Radhanath Maharaj had given a very nice lessons from this story. Muchakunda's story, all of us know that he had served the demigods. And then when demigods asked him that, what boon you want? So he said, no, I just want to sleep, because he was really tired. And then when Kalyavan was following Krishna, so Krishna was knowing that in this cave Muchakunda is there. So he purposefully went into the cave. And first thing Kalyavan does is, he thinks that this fellow Krishna is sleeping here, kicks, and Muchakunda gets up. Kalyavan is burned. And then Muchakunda realizes that this whole cave is enlightened. So he looks here and there, and Krishna comes in the front. Radhanath Maharaj was telling in a very old lecture, he said, this is like this 4 or 5 step approach of how a jiva is purified. If the jiva has served the devotees, Maharaj was saying, if he has served the devotees, and is sleeping, if in his previous lives or somehow he has served. But the soul is sleeping in the heart. The guha, one of the main meanings of guha is heart. So the soul is sleeping in the heart. But how does he wake up? So Maharaj said the first step is the sinful reaction. Kalyavan represents the sinful reaction. The sinful reaction come and kick. They come and kick us. So that's why people, they suffer sometimes in devotional service. They say, why this is happening? So we have to understand that Kalyavan has come and kicking us. And next step, Kalyavan is burnt. After all this, if we tolerate, Kalyavan is burnt. And then the heart is enlightened. There is this sattva gun established, and eventually Vishuddha sattva. And then Krishna comes in the front. So these 5 steps happen when a devotee is purified. Now going on to the, till what time today? Because of Damodara. So I had taken some small incidents from the story of Tulasi Maharani. I would like to recite it. I discussed this with Radha Gopinath Prabhu also, how this whole pastime was slightly bewildering. So restricting to very few things. Now she was the daughter of Dharmadvaj and Madhavi, and an eternal associate of the Lord, descended for some purpose. She remained in her mother's womb for 100 celestial years, and she was born on this Kartik Purnima. She had lotus flower marks on her feet. And after she was born, she went to Badrikashram to do tapasya, to have Vishnu as her husband. And Brahma there comes and talks to her and tells her how she was an eternal associate of the Lord, and tells her that you should chant. And Brahma specifically gives her a mantra of Radharani. And for 12 years she performed it. But he informs that before going back, you will have to marry this Jalandhar or Shankachud. Now Shankachud was born to a king called as Dambha, who had done tapasya at Pushkar. And when Shankachud was born, he also goes to Pushkar and, following the footsteps of his father, does tapasya. And when Brahma appears, he asks for two boons, that let me defeat the demigods. And one desire, he says, that I have to marry Tulasi. He had that desire. So Brahma gives him an amulet of Lord Krishna, which is called as Sarva Mangalmay. And he said, by this nobody will be able to defeat you. And then he goes to Badrikashram and approaches Tulsi. And he says, when he sees Tulsi, he asks, who are you? And Tulsi Maharani, there are such nice conversation between Tulsi Maharani and Shankachud. Tulsi Maharani tells him, why are you talking to me unnecessarily? A sober person unnecessarily does not go and talk with a woman. Now this is like precisely this in what happens in our society. People just unnecessarily go introduce themselves. In our in childhood, I remember this Hindi movies, I used to see this Raj Kapoor's movies. And this fellow every time used to meet the heroine and used to say, lagta hai maine aapko kahi dekha hai. You know that. Just to start with a conversation. And so many times I heard this, you know, and I used to, you know, ask that. Every time he has seen, but again, every movie they meet, again, asking the same question, aapko kahi dekha hai, dekha. You know, just a way to start a conversation. And Tulsi Maharani is criticizing all such approaches. He said, why you are unnecessarily, why you are talking with? And then she criticizes. Now here we see a reverse thing. You know, Tulsi Maharani starts criticizing a woman. He says, no, you should not talk to women. And Shankachud is glorifying woman. He said, no, there are examples of Lakshmi, Saraswati, Radha. And he tells that Brahma told that I should get married to you. Because he was a Jashtimar. He was remembering his previous life. Then Tulsi, she tells that a man who is conquered by lust is very low, is very impure. She says that when a relative dies, a Brahmana is purified in 10 days, a Kshatriya is purified in 12 days, a Vaishya in 15 days, a Shudra in 21 days, but a person who is conquered by lust always remains impure. There is no cause, probability of him becoming pure. And then she says that I actually was testing you. And a marriage should be always done by testing. Otherwise, if somebody offers his daughter to some other a young person without testing, he gets a sin of Brahmahatya. And if somebody offers his daughter to a Vaishnava, he gets the credit of 10,000 horse sacrifices. Then Brahma comes there and she says, why are you wasting time in all this conversation? You know, the Lord's pastime is going to happen. So he gets them married. And Shankachud, as he had become powerful, he rules for like almost 4 lakh years. And everybody approaches Vishnu. And Vishnu says, I will do the needful. And then Lord Shiva and everybody approach Shankachud. And then Tulsi gets disturbed when she comes to know about that Shiva has come here with his army. And now Shankarchuda preaches to her very nicely. He says that tree, we are like trees. A tree grows, there are branches, there are flowers, it blossoms and then it decays. But you should take shelter of Krishna. And he makes a very nice statement which actually appealed to me. He said, when a danger comes, only fools are disturbed. Only fools are disturbed in danger. Otherwise, because a devotee is always dependent on the Lord's plan, he is never disturbed. We get disturbed because of lack of faith. In our hospitals and all, we many times see patients becoming anxious. They are diseased, but they just feel they are unattended. Somewhat devotees sometimes, if they don't have faith, I compare them to an unattended patient. Like in our hospital, many times people complain, "Arey, subah se koi doctor nahi aaya, sham ko koi doctor nahi aaya." No, but actually they are keeping a watch that what is happening. The nurse is reporting to them. But psychologically he is feeling that I am absolutely unattended. Morning to evening, nobody has come because it's not needed maybe. If it is needed, the doctor will rush. So we sometimes feel like that unattended person. I am absolutely, you know, diseased here, suffering here, unattended. Krishna is the doctor. He is not attending to me. Something like that. So he consoles her and prepares for the war and wears tilak and he installs his son as king. So that time when Kshatriyas used to go for the war, they used to be sure that I may get killed also. They used to make all arrangements as if they are sure that they are going to get killed. I was just thinking that even few years back, like 300, 400 years back, what was the scenario in our state? It was so difficult to do devotional service when this Afzal Khan was sent from Vijapur. He used to come and destroy all the temples in the city. Now imagine that we come to know that Afzal Khan is coming and the temples getting destroyed. To build a temple, so much we are struggling to maintain the temple for renovation. And this fellow is to go and destroy the temple. So do our brahmacharis have this anxiety that somebody is coming and absolutely, you know, bringing it to, and we have to run with our deities? No. And then, you know, sometimes we are complaining, no, Maya is strong and attacking. But what about that time, the pujaris, what they have gone through to maintain the deities? The grahasthas, they tell, Maya is strong. But that time, that was the scenario that when he used to visit through any city or town, he used to pick up all the ladies from that town, people's daughters and wives, and used to cut off the hands of all the Hindus. Now just imagine what must be happening to those grahasthas. Their wife is taken away, the child is taken away. What kind of fear? So today, actually, we are in a very secure condition. We have all freedom to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. One devotee, Prabhupada disciple, had once come to JJ, I remember, and he was telling that all these arrangements in the history were made so that Prabhupada can come at right time. You know, Prabhupada absolutely came at right time. Just before independence, he started took sannyas and, you know, started his preaching activity. And after everything was settled in the world, almost everywhere, Prabhupada, wherever, even if there was a war somewhere, that was the most favorable thing. So the whole history was organized so that this Hare Krishna explosion can take place. Like I myself, when I was reading some of the history, or because I belong to this belt, Western Maharashtra, where all this Shivaji Maharaj and all of them were there. So much thing they have done to protect the religion, protect the Vedic Sanatan Dharma in our this thing. Like when Shivaji was caught up at Panalgarh and from there he was moving to Vishalgarh, there were only 600 soldiers with them. And the fellow who was following them had 60,000 soldiers, out of which he sent 2,000-3,000 to just catch them. And then the 600 of them, they made a decision at this Pawan Khind, a place, that 300 will go with Shivaji to the next destination and 300 will stay back and just, you know, stop them at that place. When they took that decision, all of them were knowing that they are going to be killed. You know, just imagine they take a decision in life that, okay, but our king should be saved because he will be saving the religion. So much of sacrifice has gone to save our Vedic religion. And here we are, you know, sometimes getting distracted by this thing, that thing. And now we have freedom, and then people are troubled going to the internet and getting distracted. So such thing should not happen. We should remember that so much anxiety people have done devotional service. In the north, we know all how Aurangzeb had sent and all the deities, people were carrying the deities here and there. We don't have this anxiety. We have just been in the temple and then we complain sometimes. There is Maya. There is Maya in the temple also sometimes, you know, we hear all such things. But so much of opportunity is there. Then Shiva calls Shankarchud. He counsels him, but nothing happens. And Shankarchud is not arguing, you know. If you hear the arguments of Shankarchud, he says, why are you taking side of demigods? And Vishnu also takes sides of demigods. Shankarchud also eternal associate of the Lord. So I was just thinking that, of course, this is all happening under the internal potency. But, you know, what the material world does when we have this this body itself is demoniac actually. So he starts speaking, you know, that Krishna took away Bali Maharaj's wealth and he took away the nectar. So this material body itself is such a thing that once moment the divine soul enters it, still the body doesn't become divine immediately because it is jada. So we are like thieves. You know, Prabhupada gives example that we keep on stealing the Lord's property. So because I have one relative of mine who is justice in the High Court, he keeps on telling me the thief, magistrate and thief interactions, you know. So once he said that these are not true stories. These are, you know, judges, they discuss amongst each other. So sometimes I get to hear this nectar. So once a magistrate fined a thief, he said, I fine you with 500 rupees. So the thief gets shocked, you know. So he said, thoda sa aisa distressed. He said, why are you distressed? He said, actually, I have only 100 rupees. But if you give me half an hour more, I'll collect 500. So, something like this. He's already been punished and still given a chance, you know, he wants to commit more offenses. It's like our position, you know. We are suffering, but in that suffering also, there is a tendency for revolting. Once a magistrate, he asks a thief that you know where you are going to go if you lie. He said, yeah, I'll go to hell. And if you speak the truth, he said, I'll go to the prison. You know, so like kind of no options. A thief once was stealing. Now, just imagine, I was thinking when I was reading this Shankarchud thing that who an eternal associate of the Lord in this material world sometimes does like this. What this thief, he went, ultimately reached a safe of a big business person. And he opened the cupboard and he saw the safe. And there was an instruction written that to open this safe, turn this knob towards the right. So he said, wow, all the manual is, you know, here. So he turns to the right and immediately the alarm starts ringing and the door is shut and the police come. And then the media comes and they you know, they sometimes take a bite that what do you feel about the incident? And what the thief said, he said, I have lost faith in the human nature, you know. So this is just to add to Prabhupada's this thing, that Prabhupada sometimes gives the stories of big thief and small thief. So these are the stories of thieves. So ultimately there is a war and Vishnu comes as a Brahmana, takes the amulet from Shankarchud and then disguises and goes to Tulsi, and Tulsi sees the amulet and realizes that this is my husband. She feels that this is my husband. And because she associates, her chastity is broken because Vishnu has come as Shankarchud. And Shiva throws his trident and Shankarchud is killed. And Shankarchud is thrown in the ocean, and some say that from his bones the Shankhas were formed. That this is one version of it. Now he was the eternal associate, and then immediately his eternal form came out and he went back to the spiritual world. So sometimes somebody may be behaving in a demoniac way. We should never, you know, underestimate. Once Vishwarupa Prabhu was telling a story of this thief from Vrindavan. He was staying in Vrajmandal and the police were after him, a dacoit. And once they came to know that he is in this Banke Bihari area, so they put a trap and ultimately they shot him. Just very close to Banke Bihari temple. Moment he was shot, he went running inside Banke Bihari temple and in front of Banke Bihari shouted, Jai Shri Radhe, and saw the, took the darshan of the Lord and left his body. And that point even the police realized that, you know, he was a great devotee. Otherwise, how come he goes, takes darshan of the Lord and says, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Shri Radha Gopina. So, just if you tolerate me for 2 minutes, I'll just finish this story. Then Tulsi realizes that this is not Shankarchud, this is something different. She says, who are you? And then Vishnu appears. Seeing Lord, she faints. And then, you know, because of her anger and under the influence of the Lord's internal potency, she says that you are actually a merciless like a stone because you destroyed my chastity and killed my husband. So you will become a stone. She just says it. But Vishnu, he doesn't react to this. He is so calm, so peaceful. He said, actually this Shankarchud had done austerity to have you as his wife. So I fulfilled it. And you had done austerities to have me as your husband. So I have come here to fulfill it. And then he says that your body will become the river Gandaki. And the hairs on your body will turn into holy plants, that is Tulsi. And he says that I will manifest there as a mountain of stones. And there are some worms called as Vajrakita. So this Vajrakita will eat those stones, give them a round shape, and they will fall in the river. So yesterday, Shyamananda Prabhu, I would like to end with this thing. He told a very nice thing about this pastime. He said, whole pastime, how a Vaishnava looks at this whole pastime. Sometimes people criticize that how Vishnu is cursed and how they say, no, they are actually all eternal associates. We may not understand. So he says that Vishnu, Tulsi has taken shelter of Vishnu's lotus feet. Why does Vishnu take form of Shaligram? So that at one point of time, he wants to keep Tulsi on his head. Because for Gopinath, we don't put Tulsi on the head. But for Shaligram, we put all Tulsis above, side, everywhere. So therefore, that was a pastime arranged by Vishnu so that he can put Tulsi Maharani, his great devotee, on his head. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.